Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading of his word.
All right. Just so we're clarification on some of the announcements, there's also a food distribution going on next Saturday, so they're always looking for volunteers to help out in that regard as well. And then Christmas on the Lawn that afternoon, later, probably from 2 to 6, that's the 18th. That's Saturday. On Sunday, there's a congregational meeting to go over the nominations and go over budget. So you're wanted in a lot of places this upcoming weekend. And then there will be a Christmas Eve service, which is a Friday night, 6:30, right here. Please come. So I was asked to pray for Kentucky. Anybody heard the bad news about some of the tornadoes that ripped through that kind of area out there? And so there's a lot of search and rescue still going on, and still a lot of missing people and all those kind of scenarios. So just as a church, let's just take a moment and to remember them. Father, we come before you oftentimes with heavy hearts. And Father, we just think of those that are in the way of peril. And Father, we pray that you might comfort those that are grieving and suffering loss. Be with those that are still have many questions and are in the midst of confusion. We pray over all those first responders and safety workers and all those that will rummage through a lot of the rubble and wreckage. We just pray your spirit go before each and every one. And Father, would you rise us and bind us together as a nation? Father, oftentimes it is tragedy, it is trial, it is crisis that brings us together and unites us in ways that we never thought were possible. May we build upon being unified. And so, Father, we come before you with our hearts in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you so much. Our scripture describes the Magi, and they're often described as wise men. You heard them as the three wise men before, right? Yeah. How wise were these wise men? They needed directions, right? They had to stop and ask for directions. We call them wise men, but yeah, what does that mean? You a wise guy. I don't know what that means. We do know this. They were probably very educated, scholarly, and they had some partial truths. They had partial truths. Like many in our cultures today, many in our society today, they have partial truth. They have some idea, but odds are they're going to need some direction from time to time, particularly about theological scenarios. The wise men were on a mission. There's no question about that. To find the newborn king of the Jews and to worship him. That was their mission. You got to find this God, find this Jesus, find this king of the Jews. And not that alone, just that alone, in their seeking and in their searching was enough to cause conflict. You would think it wouldn't be that complicated. I'm just trying to find this Christ. I'm just trying to find this Jesus. I'm just trying to find this, I don't know, you call him King of the Jews. I don't know, where is he at? Just that alone, just in their seeking, causes a lot of conflict with a lot of other people that are around him. I can promise you this, that in your seeking and in your searching, you're going to have a lot of conflict around you. It's going to cause a lot of things to press in on you. It's going to cause maybe even some friends to go into a little bit of a, or you don't believe correctly, I don't know about a Christmas tree in church. It's going to be a lot of different stuff to coming at you with a lot of partial truths. What is really fascinating to me about these wise men is what they really kind of have to teach us about God. And God makes every effort to reach every person, no matter how far they seem to be from God. God gives people revelation. How did he speak to the Magi? Anybody? Anybody? How did he speak to the Magi? It was a star. What else? At the end, what happened? They had a dream, right? So there's this sense of revelation that they're getting. And that revelation is even coming from nature itself, right? And so you can go into all the theological speculation. Did everybody see the star? Or did just they see the star? All I know is this. There was divine intervention. There was divine intervention into their lives. There was no question about it. God was doing something in their lives. Whatever that looked like, whatever that felt like, whatever the dream state they may have been in, this is a quest for the Magi to find the one born King of the Jews. God is stirring up something within them, and they will not rest. Is God stirring up something in you? Has he stirred up something in you? Have you begun to rest? It really seems logical to me that these traveling wise men, perhaps they were even kings themselves or wealthy men, would stop to see the king to find out where the new king was born. It doesn't seem like it's way out of whack. It seems like that's a place to go. Kings know other kings. Where's this other king? So they asked, where's this one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So here's your first one. There's an ask. There's an ask. So when Jesus was crucified, you know, many years later, they tacked a sign above his head. Does anybody know what that sign read? What did it say? It said King of the Jews, didn't it? King of the Jews. From beginning to end, this king caused a lot of conflict, caused a lot of dissidence, caused a lot of problems, caused a lot of with the world. God will stir up the hearts of people concerning this king. Has from the very beginning. And God will prompt in people's hearts to ask questions about God. Where is God? Who is God? Who created God? Why God? Why me, God? Which God? Everyone here probably asked all those questions. All those watching at home probably asked those questions. People that'll never come into a church or view a church service has asked those questions. Maybe some people have even asked you those questions when you say something like, I'm going to church. And they go, why do that? Is he real? Does God still speak to people? Was that revelation only for, you know, Mary and Joseph and the wise men? Well, and the shepherds too, we might get to them. Christmas time, you know, we're going to get the shepherds. Does God still speak? Is God still pouring out revelation? Are people still listening? From poverty You know, from the poverty of Mary and Joseph to the wealth of the wise kings, God still speaks. It's divine intervention. Divine intervention. And we all need some divine intervention. The reason that I'm here, doing what I do, speaking like I speak, divine intervention. God revealed himself, showed himself strong, started to reveal who he was, that he was real. Anybody else get some divine intervention? Anybody in church at all ever get some divine intervention from the God that is alive? That's the testimony. Many people are searching for God. These magi, well, they must have been. They certainly were now. They had seen a star, a shining light, and they pursued it. This was not an easy journey for them. This was just not like, hey, let's go take two rights and go over the hill, and there they are. No, they had traveled thousands of miles over a period of years. At least a couple years they had traveled. Some people react very differently to divine intervention. Divine intervention will come, and some respond not so well. King Herod was threatened by a revelation of divine intervention. A new king, oh, hey, I'm king. We don't need no other kings. Or how about pridefulness? I'm king in my castle. Worship and serve some other god? Not in my house. Some will just dismiss. The king? Kings are irrelevant. There's no such thing as kings. We don't need kings. We have democracy. We have a republic. We have socialism and communism and fascism. We don't have kings. Kings are irrelevant. Many people looking for all the wrong, getting all the wrong answers because they're looking in the wrong places. See, they'll get divine intervention, but they don't recognize it as divine intervention. God tries to speak to them in a way that maybe is quite different for them or even quite familiar, but they don't recognize it as God. There are a lot of Herods. There's just a lot of Herods. They're very deceptive in their schemes. They want to kill Jesus. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. Just a challenge you. Over the course of the next several weeks, just say Merry Christmas to people. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, cashier. Merry Christmas, bank teller. Merry Christmas, gas attendant. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Watch people lose their minds. Right? There's a lot of Herods. Evil exists. Evil exists. Do you recognize it? Can you see it? Can you spot it out? Will God give you a revelation to show you what is? There are others. They will consider him. They will consider this king. They will consider this Jesus. They will consider this Christ in Christmas. And they'll respectfully reject him. But there are some, maybe it's a few, but there are some that will follow after him. There are some that will seek him. There are some that will respond to a divine intervention. Which are you? Which are you? I know this, everybody's going to contemplate it. Everybody's going to ask the questions. Everybody's going to ask, where is, who is? What about this God? And they're going to come to a conclusion concerning him, just as God has ordained that they will. Which are you? Will you get on your camel and seek him? Wise men still seek him. When King Herod had heard about this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem, all those around him with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked, where is the Messiah, this king of the Jews? Where is he supposed to be born? So the chief priests and the teachers and all the other wise men that are around Herod, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Micah wrote this, for you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. There's your next one. There's an answer. There's an ask, and there's an answer. The wise men ask. We got to this point. Now we don't know. Maybe they lost sight of the star. Maybe the star just led them there to fulfill prophecy. To ask the question. See, the Jewish people thought that the promised Messiah was for the Jews only. Not for Gentiles. In fact, all the first followers of Christ were mostly all Jewish people. Yet, here come these wise men from the east. From the very beginning, God is inviting those outside of Israel into his plan, into the verification of who this Messiah is. Even from those that are outside of the Jewish culture, this is the Messiah. This is the King. This is the ruler of Israel. Those that were not even familiar, they would have had partial truths. Highly unlikely these magi shared the religion of the Jewish people. They were magi, mostly probably astronomers or astrologers, magicians even, if you want to say it that way. Scientists, right? They had a lot of knowledge, partial truths. And God was doing something different. He was doing something different with his creation. He was doing something different with the Jewish people. And when God does something different, it feels a little bit weird. It looks a little bit weird. God is doing something different in you. And it might look a little bit different. It might feel a little bit weird. It might require a journey that you weren't prepared to take. But nonetheless, divine intervention, revelation. God is showing you something. God is speaking to you. Do you desire to develop your soul? Do you desire to get deeper with God? See, God never abandons anyone. There is never anyone too far gone. If God can reach some pagan Gentile astrologers in the far east, he still can work on people that are around you that do not yet know Christ or reject or deny or desire to eliminate Christ out of Christmas. There are those two. God never gives up on anyone, and he'll use whatever means is necessary to try to lead them to Christ, and he may involve you. A lot of that divine intervention may not be just what he wants to do in you, but what he wants to do through you. In this case, God sent a message using an astronomical event or an astrological event, a star, a sign to them that they were to start this search. Now, what would have moved these magi? Something like that would have moved them. God knew exactly what it would take for them to go from the far east to travel in their search to find this Christ child. To fulfill this prophecy. The Lord knows exactly what it's going to take to move you. Are you a willing participant in being moved and following and seeking the Lord? I'm open to what God's doing for me and with me. Or do you keep your heart closed and shut and he's got to slap you across the face to get your attention? And before you know it, there's a crisis and you're on your knees. When you should have been on your knees long before there was ever a crisis. The Lord knows exactly what it will take to move you into a place that draws him close, draws you closer to him. These are biblical times. This is a biblical time. More and more people keep talking about the end of the days. Oh my gosh, things are so bad, right? We've been hearing that for many, 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 I don't know, about 2,000 years. But we're closer today than we were yesterday. I know that we're in biblical times. Will you seek him? Will you seek him today? It took an astrological sign to move these educated and scientific men. What's it going to take for you? Is it going to take a crisis? Is it going to take an untimely death? Is it going to take turmoil and struggles? Is it going to take broken hearts and isolation and emptiness of your soul? Is it going to take another tragedy? When are you going to let it go and let God? When are you going to come to the end of yourself? If you were to begin a search for God, where would you even begin? Who would you even ask? What would you search for? Would you look for the brightest star? Would you look for the best-selling author? Do you scan the TV channels until you like somebody in the way they're dressed? If you were to begin a search for God, where do you go? How do you begin? Who do you trust? Who do you ask for directions? Far too many Christians ask non-believers for directions. Causes a lot of problems for both the believer and the unbeliever. I bet you can find him if you look for him. I bet you can find him in his word. I bet you can find him in the scriptures in the Bible. I bet if you opened your Bible and you soaked the passage of scripture and you diligently sought God to speak to you concerning what he's saying, I bet he doesn't deny you. I bet your search would be rewarded. Will you be diligent and search again and search more passages and look more into more scripture? Will you begin to understand what it is to have peace, hope, joy, love? You could spend your entire lifetime just seeking God to show you more hope, show you more joy, show you more peace, and show you more love. But will you seek him? I bet you can find God in a good church. How would you know a good church if you ever entered into one? How would you even know it? How would you know? Oh, I got a feeling. Really? Huh. I had a feelings about cars before too, but they didn't work out too well. Feelings about other people and relationships that didn't work out too well. Do you trust your feelings? They're fickle and fleeting. How do you know? How about a church that relies on the Word of God? How about a church that preaches the Word of God? How about a church that stands on the Word of Christ? How about that kind of a church? I bet you if you sought God, you could find a good church that preaches Jesus Christ. Jesus as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, Coming King. I bet you can find God if you really sought him among other believers. About other people that have a reputation of being those that seek God, sought after God, honor God with all of their lives. I bet you can find God if you really sought after him. What really boggles my mind, though, is not so much that maybe we would seek him out and find him. What boggles my mind is this infinite God, all-powerful beyond time, your creator, even considers you and comes seeking you to reconcile you and to restore you. He comes seeking you. That boggles my mind. Not that we're trying to find him, but that he would come seeking us. He would come looking for you. This wonderful God, this Messiah, this Emmanuel, this, right? God with us. See, we get caught up in religion, and religion is all man seeking God. It's religion is, and then you can define it in so many different ways. How many denominations are there, right? There's just all this religion, people seeking God. And then there's this Jesus, just the one. Just the one who said, I'm God coming for you. See, here's your next slide. Jesus is my Savior, right? He's not my religion. I receive what Christ has done for me. I spent a lot of time trying to find God, trying to seek God, and then divine revelation. He showed me himself. I came for you. I love you. I miss you. Where have you been? Adam! Where are you? Where have you been? Here I am. Draw close to me. I will draw close to you. But then the world gets in the way. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared to them. Oh, it's been a couple years now? Oh, okay. This is a long journey for you guys to try to find this king of the Jews. Yeah. Wow. Well, welcome. Glad you're here. You know what you should do? You should go search carefully for the child, because we found out through the prophecy it's going to be in Bethlehem. You should go. And as soon as you find him, let me know, and I'll go worship him too. Yeah, right. See, if you know the rest of the story, right? There's your next one. There's an attempt. There's an attempt at deception. There's an attempt at this deception. See, because we kind of, some of us know the story, you know, and if you don't know, then just continue to read the rest of that Matthew 12 chapter, right? And then you kind of read a few more verses into that, you kind of get the rest of the story. And the reason why he's asking around the time frame. These pagan astrologers, they only had a partial truth about Jesus, a Messiah that was coming. And so they sent off on their journey of faith to find this Christ, this King of the Jews. And I don't know, I think it's pretty respectable even to just say, hey, I'm coming into this country. You're a king. Where's this one that's supposed to be born King of the Jews? Where is he supposed to be at? Is it another nation, another king? Where is he supposed to be at? I think you might know, as another king, where are we supposed to go? See, isn't everybody looking for God? Isn't everybody, doesn't everybody know about this? No. No. Oh, doesn't everybody just want to be kind and nice? No. Well, I thought we all just wanted to get along and, you know, and no. Some people like to be divisive and like to debate and like to cause arguments. They will say things just to see you react. I thought everybody was interested in God. No. No. Some, like Herod, are more interested in power. They're more interested in their worldly prestige. They're more interested in the wealth of this world. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school, didn't we? Right? Where your treasure is, where your heart is. You know, your treasures are in this world, so that's where your heart is in this world. I thought everybody was interested in God. I thought everybody would want to talk about peace and hope and joy and love. Nope. No. You're deceiving yourself in that regard. The Magi were diligent in their task, and they continued to be receptive to the Lord's leading, right? Later on, they got another and said, you don't go back to Herod. Go a different direction. And so more divine intervention that said, go a different way. And went a different way. It's very easy for a lot of us to get distracted from our calling if we don't rely on God. And we must rely on God through every step of the journey. Particularly once you say, Lord, you're my God. You're my Savior. Now what? I give it all to you. Not half. I don't want you to watch over 25% of my life. I don't even want you to watch over half of my life. I'd really prefer it if you watched over all of my life. Anybody with me? It's easy to get distracted. This is how easy it is. I want to, you know, I love my family and I love my friends. I want to throw a Christmas party. Simple. Let's just throw a Christmas party. So now I'm going to have to throw a Christmas party. So now I'm going to need some snacks. Snacks. Well, when are you going to have it? Well, if I have it at 5 o'clock, well, now I'm going to have a dinner party. So now I'm going to have to cook something. I'm going to have to cook something. I don't want to cook anything. I don't want to look up presents. Now I have to go shopping. I'm going to have to decorate the house now. I'm going to have to decorate the house. I'm going to have to do all this cooking, which means I'm going to have to do shopping. You know what? Forget it. I don't love them that much. Right? Anybody else? Come on. You talk yourself right out of it, right? Forget it. The wonderful idea, and you love them in your heart. You really do. You love them with everything you got. But the idea quickly turns stressful. The idea quickly turns into anxiousness and overwhelming. And it's very taxing and it's burdensome. And now I've lost all my joy. When it started with joy, when it started with love, when it started with a great anticipation of unity and being together, it all got squashed out by all this other stuff and distraction that we place on ourselves. We get distracted by the burden of it. We need to have joy in the journey. Joy in the journey. Now listen, your attempt to do good will be met with an attempt to distract you from it. Your attempt to do good will be met with an attempt to distract you from it. It's Newton's third law of motion. We all know that. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, right? That's Newton's third law. Good, evil. You know, it's like asking God, why do you allow evil? Well, so there can be good. No, we just want good. Well, how do you know what's good if you don't know evil? How do you know you feel good today? Because I know what it is to be sick. Equal and opposite reactions, up, down, east, west, north, south, right? Positive, negative. There's an attempt to distract, right? And some of us are really good at deception. Particularly right now, Christmas season. Am I right? Melinda and I have practiced deception for years. We practiced deception. I didn't get you anything this year, honey. I didn't get you any presents this year. Just so you know, I didn't get you any presents. And I'm lying through my teeth. And she believes me. And then Christmas time, we're opening presents. Here comes the equal and opposite reaction. Right? Not happy. She's mad because you said you didn't, so I didn't get you anything, and I'm just like, yeah. Next year, honey, I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. Deception? Is that right? Yeah, they all heard it. We didn't get you anything. And then finally, one year, I didn't get her anything. And by then, she had not fallen for the deception anymore, and she got me stuff. And now, I'm feeling like, oh, no. Yeah, what did I create, right? What did I create? Now we just get together and go, let's just buy each other something. Let's just go get what we want, yeah. But we're really good at the deception stuff. And so are you, hiding the presents from your kids, not telling your spouse. Right? We get good at it. Here's your next slide. You cannot eliminate the distractions, but you can increase your focus. Very difficult to eliminate the distractions of the world. And some of those distractions are going to come at you. They're going to be deceptive in nature. Yes, just, tell me where that king is and I'll worship him with you. Uh-huh. You need to stay focused on your mission. What's your mission? The wise men, the magi, were very particular about what they were supposed to do and where they were going. Are you? Are you still just floundering around, open to whatever new teaching comes along? Stay focused on the mission. Do you even know what your mission is? Are you seeking God for what God has for you? See, it was not the wise men's mission to go find a drummer boy. It was a wise men's mission to come before the king. Do you believe in God-sized purpose for your own life? What would a God-sized purpose look like for you? It doesn't have to be grandiose. It can just be in the smallest of things, in the smallest of Christmas parties, prayer, worship, giving. Stay focused on the love, not the hardship, and you'll have a pleasant journey. Stay focused on the reason for the season, Jesus. Stay focused on the joy and the peace and the hope, the smiles, the laughter, the singing, the music. You know, Christmas offers offers music that is very different than you get the rest of the time of the year, right? Sometimes it starts to come in a little too soon in October. It's like, not Christmas music yet. Nope, nope, nope. But there comes a time when it's like, yeah, I'm ready for the Yule log. I'm ready for the, you know, I'm ready for Frosty and Rudolph and, you know, what child is this? I'm ready for that, right? Deprive yourself all year and then you go, oh, the familiar songs that ring so true. Joy to the world. Focus on those things. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. And when we find him and we stay focused on him, everything else seems to fall into place. But you have to focus on him and seek him first. The Magi were rewarded for their journey of faith to meet Christ. Their journey was one of faith. When they got there, they offered God their best. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense. But wait, there's myrrh and arrival. Here's your next one. Here's your next one. Arrival. I don't know about you, but a lot of my journey is much like the Magi. Not easy. A little bit taxing. A little bit tiresome. Not an easy journey. I got lost a few times. I had to ask directions. I ventured down some wrong roads even, which made the journey a little bit longer. Yet it all led me to this moment, this place, this time, to this pulpit, where I'm speaking to you about joy, where I'm speaking to you about hope, where I'm speaking to you about the fulfillment of what God can do in your life. Even when you venture down the wrong road, you still continue to seek him. Even if you've made a wrong choice, you continue to seek him, and God will honor you, God will bless you, and God will fulfill what he has designed for you to accomplish. Who speaks to you about hope? Who speaks to you about joyfulness in your life and in your household? Who speaks to you about bringing peace into your family and into your house? I hope you can find a good church that talks to you about what it is to have peace in your house, to have hope in your house, to have Jesus in your house, what that means, what that looks like, what that feels like. I know oftentimes when I'm so full of love, it's difficult to even express. Worship fills the soul so much, there's not words. At times I can barely hold it in. It goes beyond words. It goes beyond feelings because it's spiritual. And if you can describe it, it's probably not spiritual. It's very difficult. Jesus had a very difficult time trying to communicate heavenly things, spiritually things, to a physically minded people, a worldly minded people. We need to work on our distractions from the world and stay focused and seek Christ. He will reveal things to you to the very depths of your soul. All I have is all I got, and that's all I can lay down. Just lay down my life. What do you have to offer the Lord? What did you offer when you found him? Thanks and praise and glory and honor? Did you offer him spare change? Perhaps a list. Perhaps a list. I'm coming to you, Lord. Now I want this. I want that. I need this. I need that. Would you do this? And can you help me here? And you just enlisted Jesus Christ to be your spiritual Santa Claus. Do we think of him like that? We say all the time, oh, Jesus is like a genie. He's your spiritual Santa Claus. When you find Christ, what does that really mean? Now you have daily help in all your problems? Yeah? What else? That's all? That's all you got? That's all you got in your life? Daily problems. How's this Christ been working out for you for the last 20 years? Oh, he's just giving you more problems? That's all you got before the Lord? More problems, more problems, more problems, more problems? I thought we were talking about joy and hope and peace. I thought there was more to this Christ than just, here, I need help. Do you offer gold? Do you offer frankincense? Do you offer myrrh? Do you offer a tithe? Did you dedicate your children? Did you dedicate your home? Do you pray with your kids? Do you pray with your spouse? Do you bring spirituality into your home? Or do you leave your home to come find spirituality in a church? And the church is trying to tell you, take it back home.
Take it back home. Take it to your workplace. Take it into your family. Pray before you chomp down the turkey. Pray, give thanks. Would you honor God? Can you do it just a little bit? A little bit. I promise you take a step towards him, God's going to come running towards you. The divine revelation. Show it. He'll show you and he'll lead you. And oftentimes there are times, man, all we got's troubles to lay down. I get it. Troubles and problems. Sometimes that's all I've got to give is my burden. I get it. And he'll gladly take it. Have you spoken of Christmas with joy? Once these wise men arrived at Jesus, it says the first thing they did was what? Remember? What did they do? What was the scripture passage? Hopefully you soaped it. You got it more than once. They worshiped him. They bowed down and they worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Joseph. They didn't worship the house. They didn't worship the gold. They didn't worship the frankincense and the myrrh. They worshiped Jesus. They worshiped the Christ. Who do you worship? What do you bow down to? And then one thing I'm certain that they probably did. I'm certain of it. They probably told their story. They said, Mary, we've traveled many miles to come here. To come see this special child. I'm sure they talked about meeting Herod. And then they got a dream about him. Don't go back. I'm sure they spoke about how the Lord revealed themselves to him. How they saw a star. How they were drawn. What's your story? What's your story? Everybody's got a story. Today I invited a few people to come share their story. One of them is getting baptized today. Miriam, where are you at? Miriam, she snuck out, didn't she? And there she is in the back. All right, come on up here, girl. Come tell me your story. Don't worry, it's all about you. No, it's fine.
She's moving on.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thank you.
You good?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe not coming down.
Maybe not coming
down. Thank you. Good morning. Oh, I want to grab tissue in case brought to tears. Oh, sorry. So I'm getting baptized today. I think you can all realize that by now. I did want to keep it a secret, you know, I wanted to. So although being baptized, and I want to start with, I didn't want to do a testament originally, but then some words came to me, so I put this together last night. Although being baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church, for which I am eternally grateful, I have made a conscious and deliberate decision on this day to be baptized as an adult in the Christian faith. So I only have 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Save the applause and questions for later. I tease. Always trying to run the show, right, Diane?
Yeah, you know.
Mistakenly, I thought that I should wait to make this decision until I was the perfect Christian. But I have come to recognize that I was wrong in this belief. And although today and after today, I may stumble in my walk with Jesus, I will keep my faith and redirect and ask for guidance and forgiveness. I have made numerous decisions in my life, which I admit were not the best decisions in my walk with Christ. I won't go into details, but I will say that during these, and I wanted to use the words you just used. They escaped me, I'm sorry. I'll use mine. During these dark times, I recognize that God was with me and protected me, and he is with me, with us now. One testament that I will share was when I was in a car accident when I was in my mid-20s prior to having my children. In this car accident, I was not the driver of the vehicle. The car hydroplaned, spun many times, as if in slow motion. I can still relive it to this day. Thank God we were not hit by ongoing traffic, although the car ended inches away from an embankment, which had it gone over would have ended both of our lives. Praise God, our lives were spared. He had a purpose. I'm sorry. A purpose and a plan for me. Since March of this year, I have decided to finally participate in Bible study, something I've been putting off for way too long. Always wanted to do it. I'm not sure why I delayed it. Nonetheless, praise God, he put me on that path. Diane Warren, who is our Bible study teacher, and those who regularly participate have welcomed me, accepted me, and let's be realistic, have tolerated me. And I them. I appreciate and love them all. I'm sorry, I just had to go to. Sorry. Oops, wrong place. Might need one of the teenagers up here. No. I have also been participating in Sunday school classes for the last several months, and with our gifted teacher and leader, Mr. Spencer Rowe. Through this participation, I have learned many things from Spencer, not the least of which is to continuously demonstrate patience, understanding, and grace towards others. I look forward to Sunday school class and the manner in which Spencer seamlessly involves the class members and also his genuine respect towards the opinions and contribution of others. Spencer's always well prepared and well organized and has a knack of bringing everything together to teach a great lesson time and time again. Thank you, Spencer. I appreciate you. Sorry, getting nervous. I also wanted to take this time to recognize Pastor Stan and his beautiful wife, Melinda. And when I refer to Melinda as beautiful, I mean beautiful inside and out. Both of them have extended their patience, love, and acceptance towards me, and that means the world to me. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Pastor Stan and I have had our differences, but we've worked it out. And I want to take this opportunity to publicly apologize to Pastor Stan. I'm sorry. For the times that I have hurt him through my words and actions. But I want him to know that I have grown as a person and understand how difficult it is. It can sometimes be for him to try and please everyone. I too believe that he understands me better and knows why I have pushed him with regards to the youth group. I'm so very pleased to see that he is so supportive and involved with them. I love and respect you both Pastor Stan and Melinda, all of you really. I also want to take this opportunity to recognize Let's see if I find them. There he is. Associate Pastor Jeff, who on October 17, 2018, dedicated to me my very first Bible. Of course, I was intruding with the youth group that day. Helicopter mom. And he had it, and he offered it, and I didn't have a Bible, which I was embarrassed to really admit. But I never feel that way with Jeff. I really never do. I will cherish it all my life and give thanks to Jeff for all of his support and understanding throughout the years. I love you, Jeff. Lastly, both my children know how important it is for me and for them to be a person of integrity. Right, Chris? Right on, Ace? integrity defines me as a whole. In my search for verse to share with the congregation on this day of my baptism, I would like to share the following verse. It's Proverbs 2:6-8. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. I hope that my decision to get baptized today, my testament, and the words that I have shared will encourage others to take the plunge, literally, and also be saved. I want to thank all of you who have come in person or are viewing online for your support during my continued journey in my walk with Christ. Thank you. I have a wardrobe change now.
I love you, girl. All right, we'll allow her to go get prepared. All right, very good. And someone was asking me to share testimony as well, and they're Roberto way here in the back, so you might have to twist your neck a little bit, turn around, adjust yourselves in your seat, but I want to come to him just because he wanted to share a few words with you as well. Roberto, my brother.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Pastor. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. It's been a rough road for me, but God changed my life, and he was always there for me, and this ain't nothing. I'll get past this, and he's going to heal me, and everything's going to be okay, and I still love him anyway, no matter what. And God's in your heart and in your mind and your spirit. He knows God's children. We're children of God, all of us. But he knows our hearts. So we need a little bit more kindness in the world. It's gotten so cold, and all they care about is self. That we're not here for that. We're here for each other, to help each other, to love one another. You know, people has judged me. I don't care. They're going to face God just like I am. And they were mean to me. So what? Not everybody's going to like you. I just want to say thank you, my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to have another surgery, so I don't know when I'll be back. Just pray for everybody, and I love everybody here, my brothers and sisters. And amen. And I love you, Stan.
Thank you, brother.
And I love you, Melinda.
Hey, let's just take a moment and pray for Roberto right now. Father, we just want to come before you. Thank you for the life of Roberto, Father, and just pray that you would continue to watch over him physically, Father, particularly for new surgery that he's going to have to endure. Father, I pray that you bring him back and bring him back stronger than he was before. Father, as he continues to sing your praises and give you glory and testify of your goodness, Father, I pray that we are that kindness in the world. Father, we come before you in the name of your son. Amen. Roberto, love you, brother. Anybody else? else want to say a little something? Give a little testimony, give a little word. They might want to, anybody at all? Anybody? It's, you know, not oftentimes, you know, the pastor's going to relinquish the microphone. So anybody at all might want to give a little testimony? Okay, I got one more that I know wants to share with you. And I require your undivided attention. Jeffrey Finley, come on, my brother. Come on. You're not going to cry, are you? You're going to be okay? You're not going to cry? All right. So we're gonna do our best. We typed out his testimony as well. So you go find that. You want it on a stand? Yeah. I don't want to hold the microphone, because if I hold the microphone.
Into
the mic.
Yeah. Hello.
Eye contact.
Hello. Sorry. Hello. My name is Jeff. I was born in St. Mary Hospital in West Palm Beach, Florida. I have older brother and sister. Growing up was not easy for me because about learning disability. While other children that know how to walk by themselves, I had to be taught. It is a time for me to walk and speak properly. But I felt different. I always wanted to play and be by myself because I did not think older kids will understand me. At Tyson Middle School, I took both learning disability and wear glasses with the SOD teacher to help me. The wear teacher knew our timing intervals at airtime, and they were prepared to meet my needs. My PE teacher, Ms. Burt, told me into showing the FCA that was. It was there that I learned about Dad. We went camping and I learned archery and wanted to survive outdoors. We also had breakfast club early before too, and met at nearby church on Wednesday mornings. We ate breakfast together and went to church together. I joined Sad, and I was prepared by my own room teacher along with a door to be in tune dance. I was very grateful to be there. At Forest Hill, I both was a writer and SAT classes. My mom was worried that I would be made fun of or be beat up. But after 4 years, I made white friends who turned out for me. They showed whenever someone did make fun of me, I never asked them to be there for me. But now Dad used them to help me when I want to be better myself and fit society. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. Both my mom and dad remarried. I moved to my parents' house and lived with my brother at age 18. I pretend at First Baptist Church is now they call it Family Church in 1980. I was baptized 3 years later. However, I realized I was following what other people were doing through the motion. Not by faith, but I encouraged. I accepted in 1992 during the tour of Israel. In 2001, I was baptized again in the river. I realized at age 12, I was going to step out into the real world. And the first time, your parents didn't help you. And I know I need someone powerful, like Dad and my wife. I was involved in my department and perform in distinguished ministry for 5 years. I was active in P2 as counselor for kids camp, 50 years in camp leader for middle school students. I've been on mission with New York and other places, like Bahamas, Cuba, Panama, Israel, and Jordan. Jesus is my Savior, who has helped me understand who I am. He made me mean, so I can be with him forever.